Morning, All Saints. If I haven't met you before, I'm Viv, and I have the pleasure of opening up God's Word for us today. I'm really looking forward to this series, Songs for the Times, as we spend time in the Psalms. These words from God which can help us respond in the times that we find ourselves in. And this week, we're looking at the song or the psalm of lament. But before we get into it, I wonder, what song do you play when life is hard? What song do you sing to when you are sad? Music, it's something that we turn to, right? We turn to it in the joys of life, but we also turn to it in the suffering. So I wonder, what song do you turn to in the sad times? Maybe it's The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Maybe it's Everybody Hurts by R.E.M., or maybe it's Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven. So those are from a fair few years ago. More recently, you went straight to Linkin Park's Lyrics of Anguish. Or you turned to Coldplay's iconic Fix You. There's a lot of sad songs out there. And a lot of these songs, they have this message about suffering and sadness. They tell you, A, to either wallow in it and complain about it, or B, put a smile on and just move on. And if you find yourself in a season of suffering, it's not the most helpful message, is it? And don't think immediately, Christian songs are a lot better. A vast majority of Christian songs, they're songs of victory, songs of praise, songs that are upbeat. Now, don't get me wrong. These are good things and things that we should sing about. But what if you can't bring yourself to that? What if you're in a completely different space and God feels distant? Life is tough. What if, as Psalm 13 puts it, you feel forgotten by God and you have sorrow in your heart day after day? What are you meant to sing then? We can often feel paralyzed. Is this what a mature Christian should do? I shouldn't say that to God, should I? And this is where we can end up silent. And silence is such a soul killer in suffering. Well, today I want us to see the song the Bible wants us to sing. The song the Bible wants us to pray, and it's a song of lament. It's a way we can respond to our suffering. It's a prayer we can pray that will lead us back to confident trust in God. Now you might be thinking, seriously, Viv, we know lockdown isn't the best. Why not speak about something else? Why not encourage us? Well, the truth is that there are people who are tuning in right now who are facing loss, who are hurting deeply, who are in the midst of pain. And if that is you, I want you to know that this sermon won't have all the answers for you. I won't be giving an explanation for your suffering, for why you're going through what you're going through. But I want to speak to all of us, knowing that we're all going to suffer. And I want to speak to all of us, knowing that we're all called to do life with those who are suffering. I want us to see that in our suffering, lament can lead us from questioning God to a deep, confident trust in God. And to do that, we're going to look at Psalm 13. And the first thing that we're going to see is that we can sing a song of questioning. So grab your Bibles, come with me to Psalm 13, and look at the start above verse 1. You'll notice that right at the start it says it's for the director of music, a psalm of David. It's telling us that this psalm, this is a song. It's a song to be sung. But as you look at the lyrics, as you look at these verses, you're going to start to see that this isn't a classic party hit. David's singing something else. Read verse 1 and 2 with me and feel what David feels. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" How does that sit with you? Do you feel uncomfortable? Here David pours his heart out, and it's clear that he feels forgotten. And it's not the sort of forgotten where you've forgotten where your keys or your phone are, or you've left that garlic bread in the oven. Not that forgotten. But actively forgotten. And actively forgotten by God. David says that God has hidden his face from him. And it's not like David doesn't get the idea that God's face shining upon someone represented blessing and God's presence. I'm sure David knows that. But David, it seems that he can't reconcile what he knows and what he feels. As it looks like God is looking somewhere completely else. He's not with David. David's alone in sorrow and he's alone in anguish, and that's not it. There's some sort of enemy, and the enemy appears to have the upper hand here. How long will my enemy triumph over me? That's what David cries out. We aren't told what this enemy is, but what we are shown is that David feels alone, that he's left by himself, and that his enemy is going to win. Do you hear the anger? Do you hear the frustration, the confusion, the sadness? What are you doing, God? Isn't this what you expect in some journal entry? Maybe a Facebook comment? But remember this. This is in God's word. And it's not just one rare example of it. A third of the Psalms are lament Psalms with similar words to these. God is showing us through his word that these are feelings that we're going to come across. Feelings that we're going to feel. And yet God has given us scriptures that acknowledge this pain. Acknowledge how we feel and give us a way to respond. Listen to this quote from Christopher Wright. He says that God has broad enough shoulders to cry on and a big enough chest to beat against. God even provides words in his scripture to permit us, indeed encourage us, to do so. We have a God who wants to share, who wants us to share our deepest emotions with him. But I wonder if this is what you expect. I wonder if there's this expectation that if you're a mature Christian, you're not going to feel feelings like this. You won't feel sorry. You won't feel God being distant. You won't need to pray prayers like this, but your prayer life, it's actually going to be a prayer life full of praise and thanksgiving. Know this. Mature Christians are honest with God. They don't stay silent. In this psalm, there is nothing but brutal honesty with God. David doesn't downplay what he feels. He doesn't ignore his emotions, but instead he brings them to God. The tears, the anger, the frustration, all of it. This is the godly way to despair. God's word reminds us that the righteous do indeed suffer. And yet it doesn't deny the existence of God's power, of his compassion, of his presence and his existence. So if you're a Christian, know that it is okay to feel these feelings. To pray prayers like this, pray prayers like Psalm 13. If you're a leader in ministry, a Bible study leader or a youth leader, make sure people know it's okay to pray these prayers, to feel these feelings. And as 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 exhorts us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And yet, we shouldn't be stuck in a song of questioning. Lament isn't an excuse just to keep questioning God. But instead we should know that we can complain to the one who has shoulders broad enough to cry on and a chest big enough to beat against. We can sing a song of questioning, asking the honest questions, but as we wait for an answer, it ought to lead us to sing a song of request. Now, I wonder, as you read through the first two verses of the psalm, what do you expect to happen next? Do you expect David to keep going? Do you expect him to give up? I mean, like, look at the first two verses. He's complained and he's cried out, and it seems like God doesn't hear him. There's no relief on the horizon for him. And yet he continues to pray. I mean, it seems like pretty lousy logic, but this is excellent faith. It's faith that acknowledges that God's listening and he'll ultimately respond. So David continues. And I know that as he continues, my first thought is that he's going to ask God to get rid of it, to fix it. I'm expecting the David of many other psalms to come out and to go, strike thy enemy down, God, fix it, make it better. Now, these aren't bad things to pray for, and we see that David prays this in other psalms, but not this one. Read verse 3 with me. He says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Instead of asking for a change in circumstance, David wants to see God in the midst of his circumstance, in the middle of his suffering. It's personal as well. He cries out to the Lord my God. He wants his personal God to be involved. A God who isn't just out there, but a God who will answer because he is my God. David's at risk of not blowing out, but wearing out. And yet in that, he asks that God would give light to his eyes. And notice verse 4. He comes back to his enemy who he feels is about to overcome him. This isn't just some schoolyard bully or some annoying neighbor, but this is the anointed king David's enemies. This is by extension God's enemy, and David is crying out for an answer from God for God's purposes and not just his own. David cries out not just for his own deliverance, but that God's enemies wouldn't win. His cry is a cry of faith. And this is a prayer we need to learn to pray. God, I don't get it. God, I'm so confused. And I don't get why this is happening. But would you give light to my eyes? Help me to see you. Help me to know that you are good in this time. Help me to trust you. This is a prayer that we need to pray. To take our eyes off the circumstance and fix them on our loving God. And as we do that, it's going to lead us to sing the next part of our song. It's going to lead us to sing a song of trust. So we begin to see in verse 5 and 6 that there's a bit of a key change here. We see lyrics of hope. We see lyrics of trust. Verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In just 6 short verses, David moves from questioning to confident trust. But his circumstances haven't changed. God still hasn't seemed to hear him. The enemy still appears to be winning. And David appears to be crushed. So how does he manage to pray verses 5 and 6? Verse 5 says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. God's unfailing love here, it's connected with God's loyal, covenant-keeping love. The psalmist David, he looks at God's promise-keeping history for future hope. David looks at God's promise-keeping history for future hope, and he knows that it will not let him down. he looks to praise what hasn't been done yet when he says in verse 5, my heart rejoices in your salvation. And in verse 6, he knows that God has been good to him and that God's going to be good to him once again. Now, this is a song we can sing, a prayer we can pray because we know more than David ever did. In our suffering, we know that God heard the cries of his people. We know he hasn't left us. We know he hasn't abandoned us. We know that he stepped in. Because we know that he sent someone to step into the suffering. We know of someone who stepped into the suffering to suffer with us and to suffer for us. Jesus, God in flesh, he showed us his unfailing love as he suffered. This is the amazing news of the gospel. And if you're struggling to trust that God's love is there for you, know that Jesus suffered with us and he suffered for us. He's known as a suffering servant. He knows what it's like to mourn and to grieve. He knows what it's like to feel abandoned by God. He knows what it feels like for the enemy to seem to win. Jesus prays this on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So when it feels like you're alone, when it feels like you've been forgotten, know that you do not suffer alone. When it seems like God won't answer your prayer, your lament, know that Jesus cried out to him and God heard him and he answered and he will hear you and he will answer you. Know in your suffering, Jesus died and rose from the dead and defeated the enemy. Know that Jesus won and there will be a day with no more mourning, no more sadness, no more suffering, because there will be a day when we'll be with him, when he'll wipe away every tear. Jesus didn't end with lament, but he certainly lamented. And because of this, we can lament. We can lament and know that our complaint can be turned into confident trust in God. Psalm 13, it's taken us on this journey, a journey of a prayer that we can pray in our suffering. And it's here for us to know that we can feel distant from God. We can beat on his chest. And we can ask that he would show us that he is with us in our suffering. Psalm 13 is here for us to know that we can trust God in the midst of our suffering, as he stepped into it with us and for us. Now this journey in praying Psalm 13, it's going to be hard. It's going to take time. You may find that God answers your prayers in the space of your prayer. Or you may find that you have to keep coming back to this prayer again and again, lamenting again and again. You may find you resonate with some bits more than the others. You can't pray certain bits at times. But wherever you are on this journey, know of the confidence you can have of the one you cry out to. The one who suffered with us, the one who suffered for us, so that we can turn from a people who sing a song of questioning to a song of confident trust in the Lord. So we trust in God by lamenting to him when waves of despair hit. When suffering hits, let me pray and ask that God would help us do that. Heavenly Father, we live in a broken world and we suffer and we don't often get the answers why. Lord, we ask, when will it end? Will this go on forever? But we also ask that in that you would open our eyes to see you. Open our eyes to begin to trust in you, to put our trust in your unfailing love, to know what's been done for us already. Help us trust in you by lamenting to you, knowing that you are a God who hears us, knowing that you are a God who's going to be with us in our suffering, and ultimately, you are a God who's done something about that suffering. So I pray that we would trust in you by lamenting to you, by praying to you. Help us do that this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.